Well, I think today's theme is really, really obvious. It's right there in the very center of our passage. It's the very, very middle, and we've already done it once already. And if you were alive in the 1970s and the 1980s and you were coming to church, you will know this passage because you will have sung it over and over and over again. And you'll have done it in rounds, you'll have done just the girls and just the guys. It will be seared into your brains. It's very catchy and a very effective way of learning it. But we're going to do it once more as a memory verse. So just while the kids are still with their parents, in case they haven't quite caught it, so you need to say it out loud so they can learn it if they can't read. So let's do it aloud one more time. After three. One, two, three. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Now, it sounds a little bit like Paul, who wrote this, is just saying, be happy all the time. But I don't think that's actually kind of what he's getting at, really, because we know that sometimes we're not happy and things go wrong and things that happen we don't want to happen and all that sort of stuff. I actually think he's saying that rejoice is like celebrate. Rejoice in the Lord is to celebrate all that God has done for us. So it's to celebrate that God made us and loves us, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he's coming back again, and we're supposed to remind each other of those sorts of things. So the big question is, why? That is a big question. It's taking up the whole screen. I like that. The other question is, how? How do we do this? All right, we've done that a little bit. We're going to come back to that in a little while. In the meantime, we're going to get on to the other part of our service. The other big theme, and you might not have seen this in the Bible reading, but it is, in fact, hamburgers. And that is because in my house, I have three teenage sons, and so we do hamburgers really well in our house. This is a stuffed toy of one of my boys. It's a hamburger toy. My oldest son, he likes to go to restaurants and take photos of hamburgers, and that's a picture of him taking a photo of his burger, and that's the burger. So my middle son, he has just started a petition to save Hungry Jack's in Ringwood. He is out there doing community service work, making the world better one hamburger joint at a time. Now, today, though, I'm getting my littlest son up, Tom, and he's a bit of a hamburger expert as well, and he's going to help me. We're going to make some hamburgers and show you how to do that. So while he's coming up, though, the kids might want to come up as well and have a little look so they can get a proper look at how to make the right hamburgers. You can come up and sit here as well and learn from an expert, a 14-year-old boy. He can eat them. He can make them. Come on up. And Tom, come on up the front. Here comes Tom. He's the taller one. As you can see, this is Tom. He's my youngest and littlest. He's my littlest boy. But Tom, just stand there for a bit. Here's my littlest boy, Tom. And Tom, what did we have for dinner last night?
We actually had hamburgers.
Of course we did. So did we make these ourselves?
Yes, we certainly did.
Did you enjoy that?
I did, Pastor Dad.
Are you just Dad's fine. Are you good at it?
I am certainly good at it.
Do you reckon we can show these guys a bit of a master chef on hamburgers?
I reckon we sure can.
Let's go. Let's do it. Let's go.
Let's go, Pastor Dad.
All right. Here we go. Okay, Tom, what is the first thing you need to do to make the perfect burger?
Well, the first and most important thing is to pick the right bun. Doing it.
No, Tom. No, Tom. I want this one.
No, I want that one.
Tom, this has got sesame seeds on it. This is a bun with the crumbs on the outside. I don't want this bun.
I don't want that either.
No, you got to have that one.
No.
Mum keeps buying them. Someone's got to eat them.
Mom.
So come on. Seriously, you got to eat that bun, Tom.
No. Unicorn.
Oh, Tom. No, wait. Look, last week, Mike Bird said that there's a power dynamic in families and that parents get to pull rank. So I am pulling rank.
Honestly,
I am having this burger. Righto, what's next, Tom? What are you doing next?
Well, you've got to put your ingredients in the right order. Everyone knows the next ingredient is the meat.
Cheese.
Meat.
Cheese.
Dad,
cheese.
Meat.
It's cheese.
It's the meat. You put the meat
again.
In
Come on, Tom.
And put
We're not
the cheese
doing this.
On top.
This happens all the time in our house, right? Whenever we make burgers, the kids like to put their hamburger meat in the grill, they put the cheese on top, and it just melts, and it gets all runny, and it just runs like a waterfall down the side of the burger. You have to drink your burger. No, we're not doing that. No. You've got to put your cheese on first, then you put your meat on, and it just gently melts the cheese.
No,
it
you do not.
Like, it is. It's how
That's
you do it.
That's not how you do
okay,
it.
Okay, we're having a vote. Okay, everyone, we're going to vote on this. Can you sort this argument out for us? because we argue about this quite a lot. Okay, so do you want your cheese on top the wrong way to have your cheese on top melted? Or do you want to flip that over and have the cheese down the bottom? It's much better. And so if you're with Tom here and you want your cheese on top, you might put your hands up now. Let's have a look. Oh, come on. Seriously? Oh, man. Oh, come on, we'll do it. Who wants to do it the right way? Yeah, a couple of people, a couple of true believers. That's fantastic. All right. Didn't win that one, but okay. Let's, while we're at it, let's do the sesame seeds. Who wants sesame seeds on top? Just the crumbs get everywhere? What? It's, okay, come on. Real buns. So it's that's pretty split, yeah. That one. That's pretty split. I feel like I haven't won. You want a whole grain bun? Oh, yeah, okay. Homemade buns, even better. So we actually fight over a few things sometimes. The lights went out in our kitchen at one point. They all sort of started going out. I realised there's more than one way to put a light globe in. You can have these warm yellow sunset lights, or you can have cool white lights that are just cool in every way. Or we also argue, Tom.
Oh, we're
going
to go there.
Are we going there?
Are we going
to do this?
I'm going to win this.
Oh, I'm
going
to win this one.
Going down.
Seriously, yeah.
You're going
okay.
down.
No. This is one we really do argue with. The kids and I argue over a bit. One night we're watching the footballs on, and it must have been a pretty boring game. Richmond were probably winning by a lot. Alex Rance is playing. Rance. Listen to his name, Rance. It's very important. And so I said to the kids, because we're a bit bored, I said, have you ever noticed that the word Rance rhymes with the word pants?
No, it doesn't.
It does
Rance,
rhyme.
Rance
do
is
rhyme.
A name.
That doesn't
you
matter.
Can't
it doesn't
rhyme
matter.
A name.
We could sing this. Helen,
no,
we could sing
Helen,
this.
Please,
hey,
no,
Rance
no.
And pants. We
don't do it.
In a song.
Don't
here
do it.
Okay, Tom, we're voting on it. Who votes that Rance and pants rhyme? Yeah, come on, up. Hands up. I don't even think we're going with the other way. Who thinks it doesn't rhyme? Yes, excellent. You can sit down. Sit down. I win. I win one finally. Rance and pants rhyme. You know what? We do fight over that a little bit. Mostly we're just mucking around, but we do fight over it and we disagree on it. But if I think, after all our arguments, I think if the Apostle Paul was here right now, I think I know what he would be saying. He would be saying this, wouldn't he? Let's say it together again. It's our memory verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Kind of feels weird just kind of wedged in the middle of an argument, doesn't it? But that's kind of what we've got in our Bible reading. The start of this passage, we've actually got an argument happening. And we don't know what the argument's about. We don't know whether it's something really important or something not that important. But we do know who it is. They're friends of Paul's. They're people who have worked with Paul. And he knows them. And he actually names them. He calls them by name, which must have been so embarrassing for them. And they've got some unusual names. So he's got Euodia is one of the people who's arguing. And the other one is Syntyche. Now, maybe they were arguing over who had the silliest name. I don't know. But they're pretty weird names. And Paul has this instruction for them. He says, you've got to sort this out, okay? And he actually says it this way, I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, which is another way of saying to agree in the... Wait, agree in... That sounds familiar. That's like our memory verse as well, isn't it? Let's say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It's like he's got the word rejoice, that's gone, and he's put the word agree in. It's the same sort of thing. Now, again, I don't think he's saying that we will always agree on every little detail. Because we've already seen today, we're actually pretty split on whether we like sesame seeds or not. Some people do, some people don't. Whether or not things rhyme. Actually, we might disagree on some other things too. Whether the people up the front talk too long sometimes, what songs we sing, when we do the prayers and how. We might argue or disagree over things we do in stacks sometimes and what sort of craft we do. There's lots of little things that we can disagree on. What Paul is saying, we need to look to the really big things and agree on those. Things like that God made us and loves us, that Jesus died for us on the cross, and that he's coming again. It's right that we keep saying these things to each other over and over again so that we can stay united around these things, to focus on the big things that bring us together rather than the little things that divide us. Now, here's that big question again. Why? Why does he say that to us? Okay. The first verse gives us a little bit of a help. It says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends." There's those sorts of words again. In case you missed it, stand firm. We've done this already a little bit in this series. In the Lord, again, using the same language, we're supposed to stand around all these things that we know about God. So there are lots and lots of people who will tell us that we are wrong. They'll tell us that they don't believe in Jesus, they don't believe in God, they don't think he makes a really big difference in our lives. In fact, in the previous passage, Paul actually says this. Let me read it to you. He talks about the way different people think. He says, "Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." Not everyone is going to agree with us. So Paul is saying it's really important that we remind each other of what God has done for us. Imagine we had a big argument in church about sesame seeds. You don't have to imagine that. We've already done it. Imagine that got into the news. What would that look like? Breaking news. Church has beef over burgers. Anger at sesame seeds. Tempers flare over unsightly hamburger crumbs. I saw another one had, what was it? Hamburgers cause a stink in the pews. I quite like that one as well. How embarrassing if that's what people see when they look at our church. Who on earth would ever want to come here? Imagine it got into the newspaper. Bun fight with the lot. A church in Blackburn North has got really angry about whether there should be sesame seeds on their hamburgers. Wow, what a crazy place that must be. And it goes on and on. And says at the end it says, "It's all pretty hard to stomach. I'm just so fed up." Look, it would be terrible. Yeah, there's lots of them in there. You can keep reading. Lots of fun. Imagine if that's what people saw in our church. Imagine if they saw that we're arguing over all these little things and forgetting about the really, really big things. No one would want to come to our church. Even worse, no one would really want to know much about God. No one would really believe us when we tell them the difference that Jesus makes because of the things we say and the things we do. It's really good. We're great friends with the church down there and the church down there because we can show the community what a difference God makes and how we can stand firm together and be united around what God has done for us. The other question is how? How do we do this? Well, I don't know that I've got too much time to talk about all the things that Paul says. But Paul does say a few things in how to do it. He talks about rejoicing in the Lord. And he talks about, he says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." So we won't talk for ages about that, even though we could. He says that we should keep praying all the time with thanksgiving. We could spend hours and hours talking about that one. He also says that God will protect us. His peace will protect us and guard our hearts. But there's one thing that I think helps us to remember to rejoice in the Lord always. It always is an awfully long time. And I think it's this one that he says. The Lord is near. I think it's really easy for us to think that sort of Sunday is God time and that we can forget about it all the rest of the week. Church is where we think about God and we know God and we see God, but we can forget about it. But Paul reminds us that we can rejoice in the Lord always because the Lord is near. He's never far away from us. That means when you leave today and you're in the back seat and you're fighting over the iPad, remember, let your gentleness be evident always. Always be gentle because the Lord is near. When you're at work and it's hard and you're there for ages and people just keep on going, remember to rejoice in the Lord always because the Lord is near. When you're at school and you just have to keep on working and it's always difficult and people might not agree with you, remember you can stand firm in the Lord because the Lord is near. When you're worried or when you're doing stuff you don't want to do, the Lord is near. When you're worried, the Lord is near. When you're confused, the Lord is near. When you're really happy, remember, the Lord is near. When you're tired, the Lord is near. When you're sick, the Lord is near. And when you're just plain bored, the Lord is near. He is always with you. You can rejoice in these big things, always. Now, we never finished our hamburgers. Maybe Tom and I need to finish our hamburgers. What do you reckon, Tomo? Can we do it? Without arguing? Do you reckon we can do it?
No.
No, we'll do it. We'll be able to do it. It's fine. We can do this. All right, Tom, we'll start again. What's the first thing you need to do?
The first thing you need to do is pick the right bun.
Cool. Oh, yep, that's fine. Great. What's next?
Well, you need to put your ingredients in whatever order you want. So I'm going to put cheese on first.
I'm going to go the meat. There we go. The meat there.
And then I'm going to go with my
I'm
meat.
I'm going some cheese next for me, just on top of there. I could melt this. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I'll do some. I'll do some lettuce.
Oh, check out. I've got some spinach.
Ugh.
Yeah. Put it there.
I'll put
Where
some.
Else are you going?
Put some cucumber.
Look. I've got the compost here. It's a bit whiffy.
I'll just stick with tomato.
I think this used to be pumpkin. Is that bok choy? I think it's bok choy. All right, what else have we got here?
Oh, I've got some mushrooms.
Oh, well, I was rummaging around. I saved a tea bag this morning from the bin. Let's put that in there as well. Oh, newspaper. Yeah. It's like lettuce, really. Just put it in the top there. There we go, bit of newspaper in the top.
I put in some barbecue sauce.
Oh, Tom, it's a kitchen table, of course. Cutlery. Well, we're not going to use that for hamburger. That can go in as well. Always get a bit of iron in your diet, Tom.
Have that in Weet-Bix.
Okay, here we go. I think we're done. Just squish it all down a bit. Have a look at these hamburgers. These are great. Check them out. Do you want to have a bit of mine?
Yeah!
Gosh, really? Have a look.
You try it.
This is formerly pumpkin. You could do that in a hamburger. No, okay.
Right, I
want to
get who?
I know I could try it. I don't think I will. So, who actually thinks Tom's would be better? Yeah. Yeah, of course we do. No one's going to want to eat mine, because mine's actually got real garbage in it. Like, I put real garbage in. And that's polluted my whole hamburger. It actually smells pretty bad up here. I don't know whether you can smell it. So, and that, Paul kind of ends the Bible reading that way, doesn't he? He has this bit where he talks about putting stuff in your brain. He says, our brains are a bit like the hamburger. If you put garbage in, it can pollute our minds. And so we've got to make sure we put the right things in as well. So we've got to be careful what we watch on TV. We've got to be careful what we listen to. It doesn't mean we can't watch TV. I'm not saying that at all. But we do need to be careful. The best way of getting things that are no good out of our brain is actually to put things that are good in there as well. And that's what Paul suggests. Our Stacks of Praise guys are going to help us think this through a little bit. They've got a really cool skit they're going to do. Let's thank Tom before he sits down. Let's give him a hand. So let's move this back. And the Stacks of Praise people are going to come up. I'm just going to read that bit of the reading for us before they come up. Just to remind you of what's actually in there. Paul says this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, and if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.